He was not willing to leave them lying open in the wilderness for any eyes to see. Stinker picked up that orc shirt, seemingly, and he isn't going to add a sword to it. His hands are bad enough when empty, and he isn't going to mess with my pans. With that, he carried all the gear away to one of the many gaping fissures that scored the land and threw them in. The clatter of his precious pans as they fell down into the dark was like a death knell to his heart. He came back to Frodo, and then, of his elven rope, he cut a short piece to serve his master as a girdle and bind the grey cloak close about his waist. The rest he carefully coiled and put back in his pack. Beside that, he kept only the remnants of their whey bread and the water bottle, and Sting still hanging by his belt. And hidden away in a pocket of his tunic next his breast, the phial of Galadriel, and the little box that she gave him for his own. Now at last they turned their faces to the mountain and set out, thinking no more of concealment, bending their weariness and failing wills only to the one task of going on. In the dimness of its dreary day, few things even in that land of vigilance could have espied them, save from close at hand. Of all the slaves of the Dark Lord, only the Nazgul could have warned him of the peril that crept, small but indomitable, into the very heart of his guarded realm. But the Nazgul and their black wings were abroad on another errand. They were gathered far away, shadowing the march of the captains of the West, and thither the thought of the Dark Tower was turned. That day it seemed to Sam that his master had found some new strength, more than could be explained by the small lightening of the load that he had to carry. In the first marches, they went further and faster than he had hoped. The land was rough and hostile, and yet they made much progress, and even the mountain drew nearer. But as the day wore on, and all too soon the dim light began to fail, Frodo stooped again and began to stagger, as if the renewed effort had squandered his remaining strength. At their last halt he sank down and said, "I'm thirsty, Sam," and didn't speak again. Sam gave him a mouthful of water. Only one more mouthful remained. He went without himself, and now, as once more the night of Mordor closed over him, through all his thoughts there came the memory of water, and every brook or stream or fount that he had ever seen, under green willow shades or twinkling in the sun, danced and rippled for his torment behind the blindness of his eyes.